Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Goatee Food Podcast. We are honoured to be joined by one of Ben's great mates and just a legend of the food industry, Max Halley. Max Sandwich Shop, Sunday Times bestseller, along with Ben, of course. And pub landlord of multiple pubs. I mean, you've just done it all. Firstly, where did you guys meet? I mean, when did this wonderful fairy tale start?
We met in a rotisserie chicken restaurant called Le Coq, which ended up being a cock up, I guess.
It was, yeah.
But
when
yes.
When you first met, I just, it means so much to me. I can remember almost that in a kitchen of the chicken farmer's house.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember?
Yes. At Sutton Hoo.
At Sutton Hoo. So we like were trying to, I think they were trying to convince more people to give more money.
Yes.
To this restaurant.
Yeah.
And we went to cook a big dinner or lunch.
Big
in
lunch.
A field.
Yeah.
On an Aga. The Aga broke. I was in the shit. And you swam through the door.
Yeah.
Like on high on life.
Yeah.
And I
forgot you were in the shit.
I was in the shit.
You were blending up lovage.
Yeah, I was in real trouble. Anyway, I don't know what you did, but you lifted my mood, certainly, and we did a wonderful lunch.
Well, what are your memories of Le Coq? I mean, obviously a good couple of years there. Some happy times, some bad times, I'm guessing.
Yeah. We met. The food was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was a great restaurant for a bit, I think.
Everything was wonderful.
Yeah.
Apart from the eventual outcome.
Yeah, which was one of utter disaster.
Ben shared some memories of some disastrous nights there. Can you remember any which come to mind?
No. They're the kind of nights that we should probably not say too much about.
Well, this is a rated R podcast. So.
This is an R-rated podcast. Yeah. No, I don't know. It was a lot of fun and much drinking was done.
Yeah.
Certainly by me. Smoking fags in the loos and all that sort of business.
Oh, lovely. Like being back at school again.
Yeah, of course.
I read somewhere that you said that Ben's the greatest chef you've ever sort of laid eyes on. Is that still the case?
It's not the case. That he is the most natural cook I have ever encountered, which is not about, I'm sure there are people who know more like technique wise, but in terms of looking at a group of things and deciding how to put them together with the utmost deliciousness. If I was going to die tomorrow, the truth is I would like Ben to make me lunch.
Yeah. And what would he be making for you?
Well, hopefully roast chicken, rice and coleslaw. But I don't know. Whatever he wants.
Okay. Well, it's quite a morbid subject, but late January.
Yeah,
what would you make if he did fall over tomorrow?
What I would make, and this is slightly ruining the format of the podcast.
It is.
I, in some ways, have made this.
We're ruining the whole podcast.
Max used to get together with his sister once a week.
Yeah.
And have rotisserie chicken or roast chicken, rice, coleslaw and hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I...
Still do.
I think it would be a waste of my time to cook anything other than that.
Oh, yes.
That is
like, is that what you've made?
Well, no.
That's what I've made, but it's coming later. I didn't,
yes!
Yeah.
Well, okay. We'll pretend we didn't hear any of that. Let's go on to Max's Sandwich Shop, because obviously that's when you guys started to sort of work together on a slightly different creative plane. Mm. How did the concept of opening a sandwich shop come about when normally they're sort of run by Italian mafioso families in the city?
So I knew this guy called Yanni Papoutsis, who had taken the burger from being the kind of thing that you would get outside a football match or from a fish and chip shop, and turned it into something bougier, something more gastronomic. And what he started would go on to become Meat Liquor. And I wanted to open my own restaurant. I guess somebody with my, you know, the restaurant world that I'd come from probably would have opened a modern European small plates restaurant looking for a Michelin star. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, fuck that. I would like to take a thing that everybody likes that has been neglected, like the burger had, by looking at what Yanni and what Carl Clark had done with fried chicken a bit, I think, taking it from a kind of high street franchise business thing to being a bit smarter, a bit more thought gone into what you might use to coat the fried chicken or what you might marinate it in first or whatever. And it dawned on me that maybe the sandwich had been neglected. And I thought that maybe I could be a part of, you know, turning up the volume a bit for the sandwich, making it into something where the actual sandwich could be a meal rather than having to come with a bag of crisps and a bottle of Coke to be perceived as a meal.
Well, Maxi Sandwich Shop, obviously, the sort of church of liquor and fucking hard booze and incredible sandwiches.
Yeah.
I can imagine that recipe gave birth to some pretty good lock-ins and some big nights. Can you remember sort of one?
I don't remember the entire first year. Really? It's like when you meet those people who've had a kid and they say, I've been so sleep deprived, I don't remember the first year of my child's life. When it came to the sandwich shop, I was so sleep deprived, I do not remember the first year of my child's life.
Which is like deliberate, because it means you can carry on, otherwise you would have given up.
Yeah, there were some epic 72-hour lock-ins.
Yeah. The thing about Max, you were saying, oh, I have an innate sense of making things tasty. You have an innate sense of just finding joy. Or bringing joy to other people in any scenario.
But finding it for myself, because there is joy for me in bringing it to
other
people.
If you know how to find it for yourself as well, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are sort of legendary ability to
enjoy myself.
Even as a waiter, you know, as in which you started as.
Yeah.
Just giving people the best time.
Yeah. Well, look, that gets back into, I actually just got asked just the other day, someone asked me, like, why do I work in restaurants? And I have my old rant about the humans and the dolphins.
Yeah.
People say only the humans and the dolphins fuck for pleasure. That only they have taken the mere boring biological function of procreation and turned it into a joy. And what I like about restaurants, why I own a restaurant, is because restaurants, like the humans and the dolphins, they have taken the boring biological function of the consumption of food for calories to burn to stay alive, and they've turned that into a joy. And that I see that as like, it's an unbelievably rewarding industry to work in, because you are bringing joy to people's lives, like for a living, which is...
But so many people misunderstand it as just a purely sort of service industry.
Yeah.
It's sort of menial.
Yeah, but it's like, it's fucking hospitality, man. Like, it is...
Because you're someone with a first-class degree in ancient history, I believe, or something of that order, right?
Yeah.
Telling people that you were going to become a waiter initially, like how, like what... Well, you not that you were going to become a waiter, but...
No, that I guess one ends up doing those things. But the truth is, I always just try to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
And that because of how restaurants work, where people come to you for your thing, you know, it's like, it is like going round to someone's house, isn't it? And they're making you lunch, or in the case of the sandwich shop, dinner.
Yeah.
And so... I just tried to make a place where I would enjoy myself there. Like I used to say when I opened, what I wanted the sandwich shop to be was a place where people could do my three favourite things, which was staying up late, eating sandwiches, getting pissed and not getting ripped off. And
it's an amazing combo.
Yeah, and it's still like that now. Yeah, like, fair enough, the prices have gone up since we opened and all that shit. But and £13 is a lot for a sandwich, but it's not a lot for dinner.
No.
And I like also people don't realise that we make our own bread and all that
unbelievable.
Kind of stuff. And we don't have a sign saying, oh, did you know we make our own bread? We just I love to make our own bread because A, it means I am completely in control of the product that we offer. But it also it's the satisfaction of like one in whatever percentage of the customers that says, fucking hell, this bread is perfect for sarnies. Where did you get it? And I get to be like, oh, we made it.
Yeah.
And the satisfaction in that is worth the 99% of people that, you know, don't really think about it.
Yeah.
Well, you obviously use the finest ingredients. You make most of your stuff in-house. I've read, you know, some articles with your suppliers, all the herbs, all the meat, everything. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Any sandwiches that still remain on the menu from day one?
Yeah. One, the ham, egg and chips, which is like the sandwich that changed it all for me.
Talk us through it.
Sandwich shop focaccia, top and bottom, obviously. Braised ham hock meat on the bottom, piccalilli, a fried egg, shoestring fries, malt vinegar mayonnaise.
And that adheres to all your rules. I know you guys slightly disagree on the rules. Do you going forward?
I don't know.
At first, you agree with them. Do you still all agree with them? I don't
know. Cold, sweet, sour, crunchy, soft are the rules. It is, I think, within those three contrasts that true deliciousness.
Yes.
And I really do think that.
Well, it stood you in good stead.
Yeah. And it's that's why those sandwiches are so fucking.
Do you ever get
nice.
Someone come up to you and be like, oh, you missed one here, mate? Like, this isn't.
Like a, yeah.
The local pedant.
Yeah.
I think you'll find salty should be in
there. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure. And look, I haven't invented anything there. There's. No. That's just what deliciousness is. When you've got something cold, you want something hot. You know, you want hot chocolate sauce on your ice cream. You want custard with your, you know, whatever.
Banana,
like hot custard with your cold, whatever might be. That you don't want a plate of all sweet things. You want something sour there. That those are flavour symbiosis. That it's in contrast that deliciousness resides.
So obviously the ham's still on the menu, but what's the favourite of both of you, which you've sort of come up with? Of the sandwiches, I mean, the ham's the OG, but...
The ham's the OG, the one that Comme des Garçons put on clothing or whatever. Like, that really changed the game. But I don't know, I like the lasagna sandwich a lot.
Yeah. Just talk us through it for the listeners. They're salivating on the way to work.
That is goat bolognese, pickled mirepoix, taleggio bechamel, rocket and baby gem, because that's the salad I have with lasagna, and do your mayonnaise. Ugh. And do you like it? Yeah, oh. I do, yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah. What about you, Ben?
There's a sandwich of yours on the menu at the moment.
I say that, though.
No.
Well, go on, what is it?
It's a nice sandwich.
It's called the BJ Benson,
which has got, I'm not going to be able to remember, like beetroot biryani, some pickly stuff.
Labneh, some guindillas. Loads of herbs, parsley, mint and dill.
And then like a fritter.
Yeah, and a kind of veggie fritter. Sort of... slightly like a spiced latke.
Yeah.
Kind of grated vegetable fritter.
It's fucking delicious.
It is really good. In fact, when we put it back on the menu about a month ago, well, I said before, we'll make it to try it, because it hadn't been on the menu for like 8 years or something. And when I took that first bite, I was like, oh, fucking A.
Yeah, it's good.
BJ Benton strikes again.
Yeah. Any epic fails?
I mean, hundreds, but not any that ever made the menu.
No, you wouldn't. No.
Like,
just one loss in the memory, though. You just one bite and you went, "Fuck me, this is shit."
My litany of errors is easily forgotten, or I'll do everything I can to forget. Hey.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about having a drink. Obviously, sandwiches and booze go well together. Ben, as we ask, what your favourite cocktail is, or what you've
heard? Well, I've done a nostalgic one.
Okay,
it's not you. I haven't made anything, to be honest.
No, okay.
But I just, because I want to see Max's reaction when I pull this out. Oh. Have you ever got one of these?
Ooh.
Did you get one of them?
Yes, was that from Lecoq?
Yeah.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. You've still got the tiniest bit.
The tiniest bit.
Just.
Fuck, I do not have my one of these. So this was a prezi from the owners of Lecoq, right?
I get bitter like memories when I bring that out.
What I want to do with this is turn it into a Molotov cocktail.
You could take it to Magali. She'd do a little a candle out of it.
And then I could Molotov that.
Then you can Molotov that. Anyway, I haven't made a drink.
How funny to see this.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, grappa.
I know.
Paint off doors.
Yeah. I just put it in coffee.
Do you?
Yeah.
Coretto.
Well, as you enjoy the memories of that, what would your go-to cocktail be?
Depends on the time of day.
Yeah.
And the situation.
What's the one you order the most? If you're out in the evening.
I like a Gibson. So like a gin martini with a pickled onion in it. That's in my case, quite a few pickled onions.
Mm.
And I often ask for a bit of the liquor in the drink.
So good.
Delicious. I think a Gibson is certainly a personal favourite. Paper plane, delicious.
What's a paper plane?
Paper plane's like Aperol, that almond spirit whose name I can never remember. And some bourbon.
Yeah, nice.
It's delicious, yeah.
You're the cocktails, because you have a palate. They used to pull together these cocktails at Lecoq.
Yeah. Well, they're fun, aren't they?
They are.
Cocktails are like cooking.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, you got to try a thing, and you think, like, what's missing from that? A bit like the hot, cold, sweet, sour, crunchy, soft, but you just a bit more with, like, sweet and bitter and, you know, I don't know, citrusy or whatever. I think, cocktails really are like cooking.
Have you always had a palate?
Yeah. My mum and dad talk about that quite a lot.
Do they?
It was like when I was a kid, they'd give me plates of food to eat, things that they were eating, and ask me what was in it. And I'd say, like, oh, there's this and this and this and this. And my mum and dad thought it was, like, spooky, my ability to pick out, I don't know, fucking celery from something when I was 6 years old or whatever.
Because, you know, like, people in wine, your dad's in wine, right?
Yeah.
You talk people... people talk about you having to learn the like flavour references.
Yeah, well, you got to, yeah.
Into, like, it sounds like you were sort of like just innately, like Matilda. It's like you...
Yeah, I don't know what it is. And it's probably that as well as the joy thing, that I think that is... Yeah, I do. I have some weird...
Yeah.
Something to do with flavour, where like I hear sound when I eat things.
Really?
It's a bit weird, yeah. Like some synesthetic thing, where I've sort of like... music and how I think about things that are missing is I feel about it like music, that it'd be like if the tune had no bass line, and somehow I feel like that with food, that it's like that means that there should be more sweet stuff, is that if the tune's got no bass, I know that sweetness or umami.
But in your head, you're describing it as music. It's a sound you're trying to arrive at.
Yeah, it's like not actually literally hearing it. It's very difficult to describe. Yeah. It's like, but yes, when I eat something, when I know that there's no bass, and I know in the flavour symphony or whatever the fuck it is, and then I know that sweetness or umami is missing, and that when that's added, the sound is much more complete to me.
That is brilliant.
Fucking weird.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, what's missing for most when you eating your main meal is a drink. So what would you be having when you're sort of...
chewing a pickled onion.
your go-to drink for a meal. So you've had your cocktail
start. Wine, big time.
Any in particular?
Nice.
Red or white?
Both.
Both together?
Yeah.
Makes it,
Anything. No, I think the right wine... The right wine for what you're eating.
Yeah, of
course. These are a bit like when you've got a plate of hot stuff, you want something cold to go with it. When you have a plate of acidic stuff, you need the right wine to go
with it. But do you do wine at the sandwich shop, or is it just...
Loads. Yeah. Shots, beers, wine, everything.
Sounds amazing.
It's like a full bar.
Yeah.
A full restaurant offering, basically. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Slightly heavier on beer, because when I first opened the sandwich shop, it was all wine, because I was really into wine at the time.
Mm.
And I had this, what I thought was a brilliant idea. Turned out no one else thought it was a brilliant idea. But it was, I had four reds and four white wines, and I put them all on at the same price. Because I thought what that would do was, I know that, and me included, despite being really into wine, that the main basis that you purchase on is price. You know, so if I want to splash out, I'm buying a more expensive, an expensive bottle of wine rather than a cheap one.
Mm.
But that is still fundamentally the motivation for that is price. It might be like, oh, that one's an absolute bargain for 70 quid, when normally I'd spend 20 quid on a bottle of wine. But you're still buying on price, even if you're buying an expensive bottle of wine. So I had four whites and four reds all at the same price. And my idea was that what that would do would be to force people's hand in having to choose their wine stylistically. Because it was impossible to purchase with price as the motivator, because they were all the same price. No one wanted wine. They're like, it's a fucking ham, egg and chip sandwich. I want a beer and a shot of vodka.
Yeah.
And so it has now 80% of our sales or something on drinks are beer.
Yes.
Well,
after several beers, several shots of vodka, you wake up the next morning feeling a bit dusty, craving a sort of breakfast sandwich.
Yeah.
But what is your sort of go-to hangover drink and cure?
Michelada.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Explain that to the masses.
The Mexican Bloody Mary, I guess, is what it is. A glass full of ice with what we would consider the Bloody Mary garnishes, like lime, Liam Perrins, Tabasco, and then they put Maggi sauce a lot of the time as well. Liquid MSG, basically, baller. And then you put a splash of Clamato juice, not tomato juice. I think officially it's meant to be tomato juice with clam juice in it.
Sure.
But now I think it is just tomato juice with MSG added to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, if you have a pint glass, you go a third of a pint of Clamato, and then you fill it up with beer. And it sounds really weird.
The most refreshing drink.
It is the most refreshing drink. And because Bloody Marys, I like the idea of a Bloody Mary, but every time I drink one, I think like this gloopy shit. Yeah. And the Michelada is like, a fizzy, refreshing version of a Bloody Mary. And you can't get the whole beer in. You have to top it up as you go. And so it's a different drink by the time you finish than it was when you started. There's something really, really nice about that.
Yeah.
So that is 100% my hangover drink, my first drink of the day.
And if you're not hungover in the mornings, what's your morning drink of choice? We've had some weird ones.
Black coffee.
Just black coffee. That's probably the most straightforward answer we've had.
Nothing weird about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to 2018, because that's when you boys, you know, released what is now Sunday Times bestseller, Max's Sandwich Book, the first of your three books. The third one's on its way, I hear.
It's out.
When's that coming out?
23rd of April.
Okay.
Is that the
very
date?
Exciting.
Yeah.
You didn't even know the date of that.
No. But we should put, can we?
But I knew, so that's
you
all
know.
Right. That's all
right. Yeah. You know, people do that thing where they put the link and all the details.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, yeah, we definitely.
We've done that before.
We'll put it for all the books.
Okay, yeah.
So Max's Sandwich Book, then we had Max's Picnic book.
That's like and a
then,
fever dream.
What's this
book
one called, this third one?
Max's World of Sandwiches.
Max's World of Sandwiches. Mm. Okay, sounds incredible. Mm. You guys have been working together on all three books, am I right?
Yep.
Right.
Just talk us through the process of the first one, though. Was it sort of butting heads at times? Was it late nights?
Never.
What was the process?
Never.
No
headbutts. A fucking joy to work with Ben. We get along so well. We both have roles in the writing, and I think that we both know what we do.
Yeah,
and it works so well for us.
Sort like of unspoken.
Ben's
it?
Always really done all of his 50% by the time I am embarking on my first 1%.
Right. Okay.
But we know that. I mean, that's.
But we know that that's what's going to happen.
Sunday Times bestsellers. What can you say? Congratulations.
Yeah. And it makes it much easier dealing with the publisher, where they're like, "Have you written anything?" And I get to go, "Yeah, yeah, we've written half of it," and I
and half the book.
But no, it has been. It's a joy to work together.
It is, yeah.
We really enjoy each other's company generally, but enjoy creatively doing things together.
And of those three books, what's your favourite? Obviously the newest one, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a banger, the new one.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Picnic book.
Yeah, so like, the Picnic book is this mad...
It's a work of fiction,
like,
really.
It's weird.
It's like Wonka and Acid, but for sandwiches.
It is. It was written in lockdown.
Written in lockdown.
So it's like a fever dream.
Yeah, yeah.
We just imagined these mad picnics.
Yeah, 16 crazy picnics, fantasy picnics. And then it was like out of those crazy fantasy picnics, we would decide what. So like the first one is Hunter S. Thompson and Mary Berry having a picnic in the park together.
Yeah.
And it was kind of then out of those weird imaginings of what would be happening when Hunter S. Thompson and Mary Berry had a picnic together. The recipes came out of that.
Yeah.
Can you give us a recipe from that?
What is in the Hunter S.? Do you know, I can't even fucking... No. There are so many recipes in that book.
It's too mad.
The meat trifle.
There's a meat trifle.
A meat trifle, right? Yeah.
And there aren't many cookbooks where the first... On the meat trifle recipe... Where there is a beautiful photograph of what would appear to be a truly delicious trifle, but it is made of like chicken liver parfait and horseradish whipped cream and stuff. And the first line of the recipe says, "Would we recommend you to make this? Probably not." and it was such a joy
a
writing
recipe,
a book.
It was unbelievable.
And this new one, what's sort of different about this one?
It feels like a progression from the first sandwich book. Like the structure of the book is the same. So you get, I think there were 20 sandwiches at the beginning of the first one, and there are 40 in this
like
one.
That, yeah.
So you get, you know, a nice glossy picture of a lovely sarnie and some chat about the sarnie 40 times. And then the second half of the book is all the recipes, like hundreds of recipes.
Hundreds of recipes, yeah.
Hundreds of bits of stuff blended up and mixed into mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Wow, sounds incredible.
What's amazing about the book, I always think, I don't know, because you could, if you came to it just as a pure recipe book, it would make you a better cook.
Yeah.
There's everything's in there.
Yeah.
But also, if you just want to make your lunch... It's going to make your lunch. I don't know. Like it works
better
on so many. Yeah,
yeah. I agree.
The banging book.
They are.
Buy it.
You buy it. It's amazing.
Buy it.
Best
buy
book
it
about bread.
And
since
add the
Bible.
Picnic book to the basket.
Add all.
I'd like that one to go.
Yeah.
Deep
pre-order
into
the new
royalties
one, and then buy the two previous ones.
Yeah.
Buy the reduced picnic book that Amazon are flogging.
Oh, the price
off
will be smashed. Yeah.
All this sort of talk of, you know, picnics and sandwiches and food has made us, you know, come to the time where we're going to talk food. And maybe have a bit of food, Ben? if there is something.
See what happens.
Let's see. Let's start off asking Max what his go-to delivery order would be, where Ben then reveals to us what he's going to be.
Oh, that's an empty...
My go-to delivery. Well, see, now I live in rural Wiltshire.
Okay.
So I actually can't get a delivery.
No.
I have to drive to collect my guilty pleasures, which is a Domino's Veggie Supreme with extra jalapenos and ham.
That's and you have to drive. They won't bring that to you.
They won't bring it to me, and I have to drive and get it.
They drive a hard bargain in Wiltshire, Domino's.
They do, yeah. There is a KFC in Shaftesbury.
Right. do you frequent that?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
I mostly go to Chutney's in Shaftesbury, one of the world's best curry houses, where I believe David Beckham's been.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Brilliant. Like, Chutney's, fantastic.
If you had to pick one, it would be the Dommies over the curry over the...
Yeah, but again, it just depends on the state of my hangover, to be brutally honest.
But you, like, in London?
In London.
On all our photo shoots, you tend to get the same
delivery.
On the first shoot lunch.
Yeah, I get, a Sarma Tavuk Beatty. That rolled, the sort of rolled, like an Adana, a minced chicken kebab that is then wrapped in lavash, that flatbread, and grilled.
Mm.
So I think they grill the chicken kebab, then they put it onto a flatbread with some cheese and roll it up, and then they grill it again. And then that comes with, like, tomato sauce and yogurt and melted butter. It's fucking so good.
Yeah, thousands of years of practice, and they've completely right.
And they have nailed it.
That does sound delicious.
That is so good. And then, I don't know, I used to get a lot of Jeanne impression. Yeah.
Noodles.
Loads, shitloads of noodles.
Ben, what are you revealing there?
I wanted to recreate a bit of TV gold.
I know what's coming out of there.
Oh, I've got
it. This is TV gold.
I've got the tip. I stuffed it to you.
Oh. Wee.
That's a hot dog.
That is good.
That is a hot dog. So this is...
Can you explain that to us, Max?
Yes.
Hold it up for the camera.
I got more. Let me do it.
Oh, he's got more in there.
Here we go.
Come on, lads.
There we go.
This was a part of the tenet of our picnic book.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a little like my motivation for doing my sandwich shop was that the sandwich had been neglected. And I felt very strongly that it really came to mind at the beginning of lockdown, but that the picnic was similar, had been similarly neglected.
Mm.
And the picnic had kind of become this sort of wind in the willows, chintzy bullshit fantasy. And that actually it's just a meal outside. And why the fuck should it involve wicker baskets and like fizzy pop and all this crap?
Yeah. Famous Five. And
yeah, exactly. All this like Enid Blyton bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that actually the picnic is an opportunity for deliciousness, and that the thermos flask is a miracle of modern science that keeps hot things hot and cold things cold, and that we think of it as a thick, like, culturally in Britain at least, as for tea, coffee and soup.
Yeah.
And so during the first lockdown I started going for these walks, like epic 5-6 hour walks. And I'd put like Snickers ice creams in a thermos flask, go for a walk. And like 4 hours into my walk, I could sit down on some hillside somewhere and you've still got a solidly frozen Snickers ice cream. And then I just started going all in. Like, Ben has this ceviche recipe that I love. And I'd make ceviche. And actually, the thermos flask is such a brilliant vessel for stuff like that. You, like, just fucking bung everything in it.
I've seen Ben use it.
You can put fucking, like, what do we have? There's, like, cajoui pepe.
You can
make cajoui pepe or brilliant carbonara in a thermos flask.
Out and it's good. Yeah.
We'll just crack eggs in there, shake them up, season them, tip your bacon or fucking guanciale or whatever, and then just bang the pasta in, give it a shake, go for a walk, and 3 hours later you can have perfect carbonara out of a fucking Tupperware in a field.
It's unbelievable.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, earlier you told us about your hangover cure in liquid form.
The Michelada.
But what is your hangover form? Sorry, what is your hangover in sort of solid form?
Yeah, my hangover form is
bleak. Brilliant.
Bleak.
Bleak then brilliant. Yeah. After Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
But what would be your sort of go-to food for a hangover?
Things essentially made of fat, I guess. meat where quite a lot of the water content has been removed with salt.
Yes.
Yeah. I.e. sausages, bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, in large, large quantities.
White bread, butter.
Preferably between two bits of bread. Yeah. Loads of spicy.
Yeah.
Spicy. I have an appetite for spice at the best of times, but I have an epic requirement of spice with a hangover. Chicago Town pizzas.
Mm.
One of the great hangover cures.
Really?
I will often have four mini pepperoni Chicago Town pizzas with horseradish sauce and hot sauce.
Oh. Naughty, but so good.
No, but so good. Yeah, Chicago.
And then are you ready to have another drink after that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Invariably, yeah.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Sounds better than your fridge. I mean, that looks amazing. First thing there on the pedestal.
Appetizing as that may be.
Is that a gift for Mr. Max?
Well, having made it, I don't want to inflict it on anyone, really. What I meant to do, we went for breakfast before that. I meant to get some little sachets of sauce.
Yes.
And I completely forgot as we were leaving.
Oh, and actually, it's upsetting
me. You don't have any.
Well,
any
I happen to know that my Tabasco's fallen off. I only noticed this morning.
That is tough.
Yeah, normally there's a mini Tabasco bottle on here.
And you'll often have a couple of sachets in a pocket.
Yeah, often. Yeah.
So anyway, you don't have to eat it, but there, I've made you a little hot dog.
That's
in fact,
nice
I wouldn't eat
Ben,
it.
Ben, thank you.
Do you want to eat it?
Well, why is it not going to be eaten? I don't understand.
I just feel like it needs mustard and ketchup, and I've just done a thing.
It doesn't have enough lube.
Shots fired hot sauce.
Where'd you get whose is that?
Harriet bought it for me.
I'll give us a goosey.
It's got original Reaper, which I think is one of the hottest chilies in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
What is the point when it's really spicy?
I don't know.
It's just to sort of prove your macho, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a crock of shit, is what it is.
Yeah. And then you put up with it for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on, because obviously we're talking nostalgic memories here. You guys have worked together for years. Mm. Lots of happy memories flooding back. But when you look back to being a kid, what's that smell and what's that plate of food you remember the most fondly?
I don't know. I remember doing mussels. I always think about de-bearding mussels. Like when my sister's godfather would come and stay, we'd always have mussels. And I remember my mum always soaking beans. Mm. There was always beans soaking. Chickpeas. You know, whatever, legumes.
Mm.
Soaking beans and mussels, I think, is what I...
Any particular smell when you walk through the house? Sunday mornings, Saturday?
Probably just frying onions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was... my parents, most of the food cooked. There was a lot of Italian food, so I guess most things started... with sofrito.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it was that almost whatever was going to be for dinner, it began with carrot, onion and celery.
Yeah.
And so that was that, the smell that makes me think that supper's coming is carrot, onion and celery.
Yeah. And what a holy trinity it is.
And well, exactly, yeah. If it's good enough for 90% of European cookery, what is it? Yeah, French, Italian, and Spanish, I guess, particularly is the core of most of it.
Talking Holy Trinities, and it's a bit of an insult to a man who's managed to make the sandwich actually, you know, a prized item. Mm. But if you had to have a meal deal combo, and you were sort of, you know, in between Wiltshire and London in the car, what are you grabbing?
All-day breakfast sandwich straight away. M&S, Waitrose, couldn't give a fuck. Whatever is at the petrol station. Because I do have a picnic kit bag in my car glove compartment.
Yeah.
I have an old wash bag that has cutlery, napkins, sauce sachets, bottles of hot sauce.
You're like Inspector Gadget, but for picnic.
Durelex glasses, packs of fags, Rizzlers. Never knowingly underprepared for a picnic, for a long lunch. Yeah. And so, I'm not that fussed. As long as there's sausage and preferably some kind of egg-based business beyond mayonnaise, I'm going to put so much hot sauce in it anyway. The sandwich is quite forgiving. Something bacony, sausagey and eggy.
Okay. Mm. And if you're getting Ben round for a sort of a wonderful January/February meal, three courses, round your house in Wiltshire, what are you cooking?
Oh, I think last time you came, I made chicken bouillabaisse, didn't I?
I think, you did.
I fucking love that recipe.
Yeah.
That's from the Zuni Cafe cookbook.
That
is so good, that cookbook. Yeah, chicken bouillabaisse. I mean, it's a silly name for a recipe because it's made of chicken, so it's nothing to do with bouillabaisse at all. I think it just has some saffron in it, and that's why she calls it that. But, I would make something it was hard for me to fuck up.
Okay.
Is what I would make for Ben.
Do you have like a tradition of laying stuff out there when Ben arrived? Can you remember going around his house and there being...
We had your... I don't know what we had the last time. Your garlic bread.
Oh, mate.
Which is unbelievable.
It is so... It's actually a recipe in the new sandwich book. It is so fucking good. And what I love about that is it's really difficult to persuade people that it's okay to serve a sandwich as an accompaniment to a meal, but somehow that gets away with it. Yeah. Well, when you make lasagna or spaghetti bolognese, sometimes I just have a steak at home and I make that as a side dish, and it's like a fucking legit sandwich as a side dish. So I have had a lifelong love affair with those garlic breads from the supermarket.
The shit ones.
I fucking love that shit. And anyway, about 2 years ago, I had an epiphany and realised that they're awful and that it's not even butter in there. And there's no real herbs. They're made from like dehydrated parsley and they're terrible. And I don't know how, I just suddenly realised that they were awful. And so I wanted to make a garlic bread recipe to make at home instead of having those. And it turned out I sort of, without realising it, I basically made a spring onion sandwich.
Yeah.
And that is in our new book. Is it garlic bread or is it a spring onion sandwich?
What is it? So I was just in Madeira, which is an old people's home in the Atlantic. But the Portuguese garlic bread, the caca de bolo, I don't know how they say
it. Yeah, that's that bread, isn't it?
Delicious bread. And they do the same, not with all the spring onions, but they cut it in half, garlicky butter.
Yeah.
And serve you it's a sandwich. But it comes alongside every meal.
It's so boss.
So they're legitimising.
Sandwich side dish.
Well, somewhere you won't be able to get a sandwich side dish is in your pubs, right? You've got three or four pubs you're now running.
Three,
which you sort of own your run. But I hear that there's no food on the menu.
Well, some people do ask, do you do lunch? And I say, it depends on whether you think a pickled egg and a bag of crisps is lunch, which I do.
The correct answer. Yeah, it is lunch.
It's clearly lunch, especially with Tabasco shaking in it. That's a garnished lunch.
Yeah.
That's got sauce.
Sauced.
That's like verging on gravy.
But people expecting Max's sandwiches aren't going to get them in any of the pubs.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a fucking sandwich shop. It's a pub.
No.
You know, it's like going to the fish and chip shop and expecting McDonald's. I mean, you're not in the right place. If you want a sandwich, go to my sandwich shop.
Do you get any disappointed customers, though?
Never. Not a single one.
My dad has been sending... So my dad lives near one of his pubs and has been sending everyone he visits them to the pub saying, go and have one of Max's sandwiches.
Oh, God.
So we do have a lot of disappointed customers.
That man has created 20 or 30 disappointed customers.
And they've all come from Ben's dad.
But beyond that, I think you're fine.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's boozers. Like, I love a gastropub. Don't get me wrong. I'm a greedy guy. I like lunch. But I do feel that the gastropub movement has shifted the business model of even pubs that would have just been boozers, that now there's sort of, you know, you're kind of almost verging on obliged to buy a shit burger or something, or some nachos or whatever it may be in a lot of pubs, and that the wet lead boozer has been neglected a bit. And so I just wanted my pubs to just have they're just there for people to get pissed in.
You're one of the great contrarian businessmen. Genuinely, when the whole world is doing one thing, you have a way of thinking, I'm going to do something exactly...
Be bearish when all are bullish and bullish when all are bearish, or whatever it is.
It's working.
Talking pubs, talking restaurants. Let's now go on to the final section, which is your sort of locations, which you would recommend. Ooh. So we'll go through them and you tell us, you know, where sort of tickles the fancy, as it were.
All right.
So what's your go-to sort of weeknight restaurant? Now, let's listen and look back to the kind of London days, because obviously you're now in Wiltshire.
Yeah, because my answer to all of these questions otherwise will be chutneys.
Yeah.
Chutneys.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Go-to neighbourhood places. Mm. The reason my sandwich shop's in Finsbury Park is because that's where I used to live. So I like Pizza Papagone is 100% my go-to Finsbury Park restaurant. Dilara... Yeah, Pizza Babagoni was like my most frequented
And what
restaurant.
Do you order there when you go to Pizza Babagoni?
I'll have a 50-50, like American hot pepperoni and jalapenos, and then something else that tickled my fancy on the night.
Pepper?
Yeah.
Did you go some days with...
I don't know if I've been to Pizza Babagoni's, no.
Fucking brilliant. They got one in Elephant and Castle, which I only found out the other day. Apparently they've had it for years. Really? Anyway, it's brilliant there. And it's like trucker's portions when you get the pasta dishes as well. Like they do one that's just sort of tomato sauce and linguine and a fucking veal steak breaded. It's like £20 or something. Yeah. It is enough food for four people. Brilliant.
Favourite place for a special supper?
Sitting at the bar at Bentley's. I love cold seafood, and Bentley's have just nailed it. Seafood cocktail, plate of whelks, dressed crab, all that stuff, and then a baked fish stew for something hot afterwards.
Sounds lovely. Yeah. What are you drinking with that?
Just whatever I fancy. Sherry. Yeah, I often drink sherry these days. Yeah,
ice cold.
Yeah, ice cold, and like anything from the really light pheno-y things up to the darker, rich things. Fucking delicious.
What about your go-to pub? Doesn't have to be London, this one, I suppose.
Well, if I am in London, I always go to the Park Tavern in Finsbury Park, which was part of my inspiration for my boozers, where it is it's an Irish pub, fantastic Guinness, etc. Look, excellent snack selection, but you can get a takeaway and take it in there. So it's like two doors down from the pub is a fish and chip shop. And you can go, you leave the pub, go to the fish and chip shop, get fish and chips, go back to the pub, and they have cutlery, kitchen rolls, and ketchup in the pub.
That's
and
amazing.
I just think that is, it's the definition of hospitality. 100%. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Do you have that in yours?
Yeah, we do the same thing, yeah. We let people get, like, Deliveroos to the pubs, like anything. Nice. Like, it doesn't matter, just do whatever you like. And, like, as long as you put your shit in the bin afterwards, you can do anything you want. But, yeah, we have napkins, cutlery, hot sauce, and all an array of condiments.
More ketchup than Ben could bring today for the hot dogs. You've shamed yourself.
Yeah,
what about your favourite hidden gem?
My favourite hidden gem? I don't know. What is a hidden gem?
Well, I don't know. Somewhere you're sort of proud of. I mean, obviously nowhere's hidden anymore, is it?
No,
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are many places. I don't know. I don't know what is my favourite hidden gem.
Or just a hidden gem.
To be honest, I think a lot of the time it's like Britain's greasy spoons
that
people don't think of.
Where you guys went for breakfast today.
Yeah, like we went today, like oases of deliciousness when there's often not that much else around.
Yeah.
And that actually there is deliciousness to be found in all of them.
Yeah.
And you can order, depending on hangover status, an entire fry up between two bits of bread, which is always brilliant.
True.
Yeah, one of my favourite pastimes is going into a greasy spoon and saying, hello, and I'll have bacon, sausage, egg, tomato, black pudding and hash browns in a sandwich, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you get a sort of...
Yeah, you get a funny look or like, you're a boss.
Yeah, well played, sir.
Yeah. Red Ambra.
Well, you used to go every morning to one, didn't you, in Putney?
Yeah, the River Cafe, proper River Cafe.
Yeah, the actual River Cafe.
I was only earning £1,000 a month, though, so I could only afford beans on toast.
Still quite extortionate for you to go out, you know, for a meal every day then.
I was cooking a lot I was a chef. So
yeah, you were a chef.
All I wanted was a bean on toast before I started yet another double shift.
Yeah.
Ben loves milkshakes, too. That's one of your guilty pleasures, milkshake.
It's a hangover here as well.
It's also
the fridge.
Byron, which has sadly gone out of business.
Yeah, what? Great, but
their milkshakes were fantastic.
Outrageous. If I was ever meeting someone at a Byron, I'd get there early. I'd get one milkshake done.
You're like on a nervous date.
Yeah, you get one under your thing, and then so there's another on the way.
Did you have a bad lactose problem? Well, not. Well,
I have IBS. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was dangerous.
It was very dangerous. You had to make sure you were within like about an hour of that Byron. Oh, sorry, of home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And what about your sort of dream foodie weekend away? Where would you go?
I would go to the Colombe d'Or.
Yeah.
The best hotel in the world. It is fucking amazing.
Get out the big menus.
Yeah, exactly. Order an enormous piece of meat and some hors d'oeuvres. Fucking brilliant.
Sit staring at a Calder or a Picasso or a...
Yeah, a Leger mural. That place is fucking ridiculous. It's this hotel, the Colombe d'Or, the Golden Dove, Yeah, the gold dove. In a medieval walled city in the south of France called Saint-Paul-de-Vence. And it was this hotel, or a, what do you call it, like an auberge or whatever, a sort of house with rooms that provided meals. And I don't know if it's the founder or a relative of the founder that, and I guess arguably they were sort of just in the right place at the right time. But the patriarch and matriarch of the house with rooms doing food, starting in the early 1900s, would take the big artists community in that bit of France, in Provence, and they would take paintings from their customers in lieu of payment, which is, you know, a relatively cliched thing to do. But their customers were Picasso, Braque, Leger, Matisse, Calder.
Yeah.
And so this hotel has ended up with like £1 billion art collection or something in this, in a sort of, you know, like a, in a building built into the city walls. Yeah. And it is, they have this terrace. It's just the most beautiful. Incredible. Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'd go.
I'd be very happy there.
That is where I
would stay there as well, in the hotel.
Yeah, I would stay there and not go out. I never leave. Yeah, I have been there to stay for like 3 or 4 days at a time.
You never left.
And you just don't go out. There's a cafe right across the road.
Yeah.
And I've never been to it. I just don't, you don't go out.
So what do you do? Just a long lunch and then come back for supper?
Yeah, and then go and lie down or go and swimming in the pool and then just go back for dinner and go to bed.
Yeah, done.
Yeah, and that is my holiday. Well, and I'd rather have 4 days there than 2 weeks, you know, anywhere else, quite frankly. Yeah.
You are now a restaurant reviewer for Drake's. What's the best place you've been to this year? What's the worst?
I don't know. We've been going for Drake's, really going to quite classic London-y places, as Drake's is, you know, a part of a classic London tailoring, I guess. Admittedly, in a more modern way now, but we've been to Sweeting's, to the French House, and then to the Guinea Grill.
Wow. It's a sort of guaranteed gout, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Gout Fest 2023. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go this year, but I'd imagine we'll be going a little further afield.
Well, you've been absolutely incredible. We're going to finish off with you constructing your sort of dream three-course meal from all the dishes you've mentioned today.
Mm.
Is there an accompaniment?
You could take it away.
Is it a going home present?
I've made you bought you a rotisserie chicken and some coleslaw.
He's so nice.
So this is memories of you guys working at the Cot together all those years ago. Yeah, Kieran Knightley eating at your tables.
Yeah, and my death row meal. Roast chicken, rice and coleslaw. So that, oh, look at that. And the cheap coleslaw.
Yeah, made the coleslaw.
Yes.
That's the one you want.
That's the one you fucking want.
Make the coleslaw, sir.
No, do not make the coleslaw. You go to the supermarket and you buy the value one. The value one is always better.
Do you want my bougie?
Because they haven't tried to innovate it. Yes, please. Is that a rotisserie chicken?
Yeah, I've done it for you.
That is incredible.
Thank you, Ben.
I thought we'd eat it.
I'm going to be the biggest baller on the train. So what's in here? A chicken?
Just a whole rotisserie chicken.
Incredible.
A fucking A.
Again, I couldn't work out how to do rice without killing you because I had to cook it at 8 a.m. this morning.
Bacterially suspicious.
Yeah. So,
well, who needs
but
rice?
But you do a rice. And you get a free tea time as well.
Yeah, it's win-win.
Thank you very much.
But Matt, give us your three courses to finish off. Obviously, they don't have to be starter main pudding. I think last guy we had, Ben, he gave us three puds or something. Can't quite remember.
Did he? I don't know what I'd have for my starter. I'd have Ben's ceviche.
Yeah, that's nice.
Then I'd have roast chicken, rice and coleslaw. And then I'd have Snickers ice creams.
Ben's ceviche, just quickly tell us.
Ben's ceviche. What is it? It's like you stole it off off a Tongan guy.
No, there was a New Zealander who I worked with who stole it off a Fijian.
Right.
An untraditional route to ceviche, admittedly. But
and it's like white fish, any white fish. We used to see bream. I guess it'll work with anything. And then he does... So red, the root of coriander, red chilli.
Red onion,
passion fruit.
Yeah, the passion fruit's a real touch.
Yeah, and lime.
Yeah.
Fuck loads of all of that on it.
Yeah. And that's it. Because there's a temptation, I think ceviche gets fucked with quite a lot.
I think a tiny bit of salt.
Yeah.
Salt's good, makes things taste nicer. And that's it. It's
delicious.
It's better than it than the list of ingredients?
More than the sum of its parts.
Correct, sir.
Yeah. And I'd have that out of a thermos flask on a train for my starter.
And the leche de tigre, which is the name, the shit left behind, the milk liquid left behind, for some reason on that is like the most unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's because I think there's more lime juice than there normally is in the recipe.
The passion fruit's
loads
good,
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, Max, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in. We wish you both luck with the third book coming out. Hopefully it's a Sunday Times bestseller, like the first couple. And also good luck with the pubs. Good luck with Max's sandwich shop.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll see. I mean, it feels like we could do that all over again and do different dishes and everything. So
correct.
We'll
reconvene at some point.
Yeah,
we will do.
Help yourself to a sausage if you like.
Thank you.
No problem.
Until next week, guys, please make sure you subscribe, like, share. And that was your go-tos. Cheers, Max.
Thank you.